left me falling and landing inside my grave. I know that you want me dead. I take prescriptions to make me feel a-okay. I know it's all in my head. I have these lucid dreams where I can't move a thing. Thinking of you in my bed. You were my everything. Thoughts of a wedding ring. Now I'm just better off dead. I'll do it over again. I didn't want it to end. I watch it blow in the wind. I should've listened to my friends. Leave it in the past, but I wanted to last. You were made out of plastic fake. I was tangled up in your drastic ways. Who knew evil girls had the prettiest face? You gave me a heart that was full of mistakes. I gave you my heart and you made heartbreak.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my partner, Boris.
Hello.
He says hi. Our show is available live on your radio, also live through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, and our website, godisthecure.com. We're broadcasting live from Miami through satellite, available in radios more than 11 states, among others, and soon after the show, on any podcast player. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that we're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have experts in several fields and inspirational speakers that are willing to help us with valuable information. Knowing that education is necessary, awareness is crucial, and comfort is needed. I do believe we all suffer or have suffered from something, and we hope to be a source of healing for each other. Though my healing came from God, other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know there is someone who cares. There's always hope. The song that I just played, Bless His Soul, is Oh My God by Juice WRLD. We all have been lured by the things of this world that are not good for us, some of which want us dead. I remember taking prescriptions only to find out it's all in my head. We were once fooled by what we thought was our everything that only gave us lucid dreams and made us feel that we're better off dead. We can easily be convinced as evil wears a pretty face and we don't want it to end until we hit the bottom, for the enemy is never our friend. Though we can be tangled up and in great despair, there is hope in God, and no matter how far we go down, He will lift us up through His grace. Our guest today, Dale Figland, is going to share with us his testimony of a life-saving transformation from a mafia life to a pastor and a counselor. Dale Figland struggled with family put-downs and abuse of every kind, and turned him into a gun-toting, knife-wielding runner for the mafia, addicted to drugs and alcohol. After his years in the mafia, Dale stopped fighting God and asked Him for help. After years of Dale holding the title of Pastor Emeritus and maintaining active counseling practice, helping numerous people in churches, he retired and, with the help of Robbie Carey, wrote his memoir, Conspiracy of Grace. Dale, thank you for being on the show, and I understand Robbie Carey is here too. you guys are both live. Dale, it's so wonderful to have you here with us today, because I was reading your notes, and it's amazing that we both have similar stories and that we can relate to each other. My parents were very respected in the community as well. They were both doctors. My mother was a highly admired neurologist, genius, and we were very Catholic. Nobody would have ever guessed that in our perfect family of 9 children, there would be a pedophile. And so it was even difficult for people to believe at the time that I said something again for the second time at 15. People did not want to believe that such upstanding citizens can do such a thing. Dale, would you like to share with us about your younger years?
You know, by the age of 5, I had struggled through a lot of physical abuse, verbal, emotional abuse, and then I had the favorite person in my life was my uncle, and he would, I felt he cared about me and would give me gifts, and by age 5, he sexually molested me and, turned from a favorite person to, a dark side. And I went to share with my mom after several times being abused, and she started yelling and screaming and beating me, calling me a liar. And so the, that, needless to say, affected my whole thinking, and I call it a lot of lie-based thinking about myself. And, I felt, shame, I felt damaged for life, dirty, unloved.
And is that what...
unprotected.
And yeah, because you did not receive love in the home, because I understand my mother would beat me too, and I was the black sheep, and because you didn't know what love was, do you believe that's what led you to a life that's dangerous, a life that's not in line with God?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it gave me... a desire to not only defend and protect myself, but became a driving force in my life to feel significant or accepted.
And, the enemy has a way of doing that. He jumps on all the unfortunate circumstances and finds a way to convince you that you're a bad person or that God will not love you, or that there is no God, or that God abandoned you. And sometimes we find out the hard way. So that's what I wanted to talk about, Dale. What's your turning point? Because you didn't have anything. That was really hard for you. You didn't have anyone in your life. So what was a turning point that let you know there is love, even though you did not receive it? So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. I want to let people know there's always love, even though you grew up in hate. We will continue talking with Dale Figland about trusting God and overcoming obstacles with his help. We would love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Really don't know how we made it here. Never thought I was worth what you give.
Never felt quite alive, now I'm living. Yeah, you killed my doubts, they disappear. When I feel like nothing's gonna hold me down, you do used to be scared of falling till you came around, came around. Now I just wanna stay.
We will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back. This is Amy Cabo, and thanks for tuning in.
Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through our app, The Cure with Amy Cabo, or later as a podcast.
The song that just played was Midnight by Alesso and Liam Payne. Sometimes we are amazed by how far along we have come. I remember when life was so scary, no matter what. And now, no matter what, life is not scary. I realize now that God is the only thing that feels right. He kills my doubts, they disappear. I've learned to enjoy time and not waste it. And even when it's difficult to find peace, I know that I can take it to midnight. As I fall asleep with God, He'll still be there in the morning.
I also want to remind you about the contest we started. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our Contact Us page on GodIsTheCure.com. And if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate. Thank you so much for everybody who have submitted songs. Amy picks up the songs based on the topic of the show, as you know, the guests and other sometimes secret reasons. So it's not easy to get selected, but it's very possible. So keep on doing it, please.
We are talking to Dale Figlin, discussing his amazing story of transformation. Dale, now, I wanted to ask you, I know that your parents were in a prominent position and everything like that, and I know that our stories can relate. Did your parents ever introduce you to God? Did you grow up knowing Him? How did you discover Him? And then I want to stick out my neck and ask you, what was it like working for the mafia?
Okay, well, I had one person in my life, my grandfather, and I didn't know him well, but he was a bivocational pastor of a small church. And I always knew there was something different about him. He never gave me a lecture, and for whatever reason, I felt like I was important to him, and he started I didn't get to see him maybe a couple times a year, but he would always share how much Jesus loved me, and I remember in school my parents saying that I was angry coming out of my mother's womb because I was always getting in fights. At age five, I was expelled out of kindergarten for fights. And
I didn't know that was possible.
I was angry all the time trying to prove myself. And I would say the one person, and I didn't understand. In fact, I didn't think I was even lovable. I believed the lies, was that I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel needed. Didn't feel important, and I didn't have any value, but this man, my grandfather, made me feel a person of worth, and I would say I didn't understand it at the time, but God was taking the initiative through many people in my life to seek me out. I wasn't looking for God. He put what I would call Jesus people in my life, and as I got older, I didn't even appreciate that.
And, you know, he looks for you in the most weirdest places. Because, Dale, I mean, I did not really see bad stuff, you know. I lived in my little bubble. And when I was 18 and I worked for Solid Gold in Greece, I dated the brother of the head of the mafia, and I had no clue. So I know nothing about the mafia. What was it like to be in the mafia?
Well, I started boxing at age 12. I went to a gym in almost downtown Cleveland that was an old fire station turned into a gym. And not knowing it at 12, there were guys that were part of the mafia that hang out. And so I started getting to know some of these people. And I was a better street fighter than a boxer because there's no rules on the street. And I started, they took a liking to me, some of these guys. And I left home when I was, you know, by the age of 15, I left home, and they provided a place for me to stay. So I thought, well, you know, I felt significant hanging around these guys and sort of just, you know, slowly graduated into hanging around with these people. And at a young age, they sort of took me under their wing, and I thought, wow, this is really pretty good. And I was what's called a runner. I didn't know much at the time, but I would, you know, they had the numbers racket, and so I would deliver packages and different things, never ask questions, and it paid extremely well. I mean, one of the guys that I got to know pretty well, depended on how much I get paid. They would just pull out a lot of money out of their pocket and say, good job, and pay me. And, you know, there was no minimum wages with those guys. And so I enjoyed the money, and I enjoyed the camaraderie. And I think, not knowing it, I felt accepted and important. But there came a turning point where I started doing things that bothered me greatly. I was asked to go do some collections of a loan shark on the east side of Cleveland, and they taught me how to break an arm rather easily. You could shake somebody's hand, say, hey, how you doing, and hyperextend the elbow and crack it, and the arms broke.
Okay, and please don't try that at home, people.
No. No, but unfortunately, I became good at that. And that opened the door to just get more involved. And it actually started bothering me, and I was around some murders. Okay, and I desperately wanted to get out, and I graduated from high school. I mean, I was on my own at the time, and my grandfather was very proud of me, knowing that I made it and graduated high school. I missed almost every Monday. So the teachers had to get together and have a conference to see if they would even let me graduate, because they didn't have the laws they do today. And so I did graduate, and it was during the time where you were getting drafted, Vietnam War, and so I thought, well, I'll try college. And I did well. If I liked the class, I would get A's. If I didn't, I would get C's and D's. And so my grades weren't too bad, and the counselor at
but
school
laughed. Dale, that's the amazing thing, that it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. God always calls you back. He never gives
that's
up. Neither does the other one, by the way, the opposite, pickpocket. We will return with The Cure live every Saturday. We would love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH.
Here.
In a race you can't win, slow it down.
Yeah, you only get one go round.
'Cause the finish line is 6 feet in the ground. In a race you can't win, just slow it down. In a world full of hate, be a light. Oh, when you do somebody wrong, make it right,
make it right.
Don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light. Yeah, it's hard to live in color when you just see black and white. In a world full of hate, be a light.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back. And remember, we're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, on our app The Cure for any smartphone, or our website, godisthecure.com.
All shows are available also as a video and audio podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabo.
A small correction. The first song that I played was Lucid Dreams, not Oh My God. That was last week's song. But the song that just played now was Be a Light by Keith Urban.
So you got that right?
Yes, this Thank time you. It's right. Okay. Chris Tomlin, Hillary Scott, and Reba McEntire. We pick our battles. And in this world, sometimes it's best to walk away in order to make the best out of it. We only have one life. Let's make it count. When we do someone wrong, we can always make it right. If there is hate, learn to love even more. Find the good in it, grow, and serve as an example. With just a little faith, every wrong God makes right. For He intended for every one of us to shine.
I also want to remind you about the contest we started. Please send us your request for a song on our page, godisthecure.com, contact us and tell us which song you want us to play. And Amy will review it and maybe she will play it.
And we're talking to Del Figland, a mafia guy, turned counselor and pastor, talking about overcoming any obstacles with God's help.
Dale, thank you for being on the show. That's amazing. So you graduated school and after that you went on and you became... And you studied for a priest?
No, actually, I was accepted at Kent State, and my grandfather got word that he wanted to talk to me, and I went to him, and he said, I'm proud of you. You graduated from high school. You'll be the first one to go to college in our family, and he was a bivocational pastor, and he said, I would like you to consider going to the college, and I'll help pay. Now, he was poor as a church mouse, and I knew he didn't have a lot of money, but he said, I'll help you get started if you go to the college I pick out. So he picked a Christian college in Anderson, Indiana. And this was my way out of the mafia.
So how it was that easy? Did they let you go easy? I hear the movies that is hard.
I was surprised. I went and told them that I wanted to go to college, and they got excited about it.
Oh, really? That's good.
Yeah, they were getting into organized legitimate businesses.
Oh.
And they encouraged me to go off and go to college.
Except they didn't know a lot about that little grandfather of yours.
That was your secret weapon, I guess.
God sent him in your life. I love it. I love the story.
Yeah.
You say that when we suffer, our struggle is in learning to stop fighting our pain, and instead we should learn to take it to God for help. Can you expand on that?
Should we even consider it suffering or an opportunity?
I looked at it as an opportunity, but I had a real hard time adjusting to this Christian environment because I got there my first week and they took my car away because freshmen couldn't have a car. And then they told me there was a curfew, and I didn't even know what a curfew was.
Wow.
And then they told me you couldn't smoke.
You looked it in the dictionary.
Yeah. And that I couldn't smoke or drink, and I couldn't swear. And they were fining me for cussing all the time.
Where is that school today? Can you give me the address?
Are you sure it was a military school?
So it was a real hard adjustment for me, but I met authentic Christians there.
Nice.
And I think that I began to understand there was some, you know, some power out there that was real called God. There's a short story. When I was 12, I got busted for breaking and entering, and it devastated my parents. And at that time, I was hanging around the CYO, Catholic Youth Organization, and because they had pretty girls and they did a lot of fun things. And so one time, flippantly, I asked the priest, what's it take to become Catholic? Because every time I asked the girl out, they'd say, I can't date you because you're not Catholic. And so I got confirmed as a Catholic at that young age, at 12 and 13. But I read the Bible for the first time because my mom got so upset. And I don't mean any derogatory toward Catholics, but she had this lie-based thinking that says, well, they don't even have the right Bible. So to prove her wrong, I read both Bibles, and there wasn't a lot of difference. In fact, the Catholic Bible was easier to understand.
Wow.
And, but at 12, I think God got me speaking to me through his word. And so I think for the first time I started believing that there was a God and Jesus was his son. Only I didn't need him until later on in my life, if my pride got in the way. And but thank goodness that God was pursuing me and allowed and almost opened the Bible for me. It was like a challenge when my mother says, you can't do that. I wanted to prove her wrong, and so I think that was the beginning of me, you know, understanding at least and believing there even was a God.
Well, you know, Dale, it wasn't going to happen right away. Don't you understand? It takes a long time for a masterpiece. And so, I mean, we're very blessed if everything goes well and life is all good until we grow up, but then we will never experience God's love or his miracles, or his amazing work in her life, or how he's able to transform us in ways we didn't even think possible. Speaking of transformation, you talk about a transformation prayer. Tell me about that. Does it really transform people?
How does it work?
Well, like you said, it's a slow process.
There you are.
You know, that I did... It was years later, you know, I kept saying, they gave altar calls in this college, and I know I was now convicted, but I didn't want to go forward. I remember having a conversation with God and saying, I believe you, but there's too many things I want to do that I know you're not going to like, and so maybe later in my life I'll surrender. And to me, surrender meant I was weak. And,
so you were conflicted, yes. Between the world and God.
Exactly.
And I understand that. I think a lot of us understand that, because it's very inviting, and it looks very good, and you know, it's a fake high, it's a fake happiness, because it doesn't bring you peace, and it only brings you down. I mean, it really does. But at what point did the mafia realize you're not coming back, you're becoming a man of God?
Well, that was another slow process. I mean, I kept in touch with them, and I'd come home on the summers, and so I still was involved with them. And it wasn't until at the end of college, I decided I met Karen, my wife, and I wanted to get married, and so I needed a job. And again, God, I believe, just opened the door for me. I had no intentions of going into teaching. I was in pre-med, and but I couldn't get married and support. At least I didn't think so. Loris, you would know more about this, but
working for the mafia,
more
right?
years of college, I needed to go get a job so I could get married. So I gave up the idea of being a doctor, and the Cleveland Board of Education needed teachers who were heavy in science or math, so they hired me. And that was a strong breaking point of getting away from the mafia. I was on the fringe, and so I didn't have, I don't know, I guess God just worked it out to where I could gradually just, you know, not be involved with them.
So it's not true that you cannot leave the mafia alive, that you're committed to them for life?
I don't think I knew enough to get anybody in trouble.
You didn't know a lot.
Hopefully you weren't that important.
I saw some stuff, but...
but we're going into break. I hate to go into break. That was very interesting. But we would love to hear from you. Have you ever been with the mafia, involved in the mafia? Did you get away? Please call us. 866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
In my weakest moment, I see you shaking your head in disgrace. I can read the disappointment written all over your face. Here come those whispers in my ear, saying, who do you think you are? Looks like you're on your own from here. Grace could never reach that far. But in the shadow of that shame, beat down by all the blame, I hear you call my name, saying it's not over. And my heart starts to beat so loud now, drowning out the doubt. I'm down, but I'm not out. There's a
now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Hi again, and thanks for tuning in. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio, our app, The Cure, and on social media. Just look for God is The Cure.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast as well. Search for The Cure with Amy Cabell on any podcast channel. And just for your information, Amy is spelled with an I and a double E.
The song that just played was Grace Wins by Matthew West.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
We've all been in that place where that pickpocket, you know, he steals your soul without even you knowing it. I got that from a saint that used to call him Pickpocket. I thought it was a good idea. But isn't it amazing when grace wins? When you no longer believe the lies? When God calls our name? Yes, it's a war. It's a war between evil and good. And we are that sacred space in which grace will always win. We will never lie in death's deceit, for God has never given up on me as many times as he should have and as he has done for many others. For he never quits calling out our name, and because he is the one and only God, grace wins every time.
Yes. I also want to remind you about the contest we started again. Please let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on godisthekid.com.
We will continue talking to Dale Figland, a mafia guy turned pastor.
In his book, Conspiracy of Grace, as you talked about grace.
That's a coincidence. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
So, Dale, I mean, your story is amazing. It's great. I thought that it was great that you even escaped the mafia and that you gave up your aspirations to become a doctor and to be wealthy and to have all the things that this world has to offer that most of us believe it's happiness, because you had something bigger to offer. Tell me. Go ahead.
I taught for a few years, and it was on the east side of Cleveland where I had some connections. It was a rough school. It was a school called, nicknamed Cleveland Bad Boys School, and you had to be expelled out of other schools before we take you. But anyway, I didn't like not making money, so I went into businesses, and I ended up just briefly owning and operating 7 small businesses.
Wow.
And some of them I was still tied very, I would say, if such a thing, legitimately with the mafia.
You still had connections.
And so they were glad that this businessman could do certain favors, okay? The unions were very strong, and so I sold heavy construction equipment to one fella because he had all the contracts to build the new school. And so it was an easy transition, but I was became very successful, very wealthy, sort of a big frog in a small pond in that end of the business, and I was a miserable person. I was married, had 2 kids, and I left home, I thought, because of primarily my father, but later learned my mom it was a mutual thing. She used to say, if anything I did bad, you're just like your father. So, but the horror story is I woke up one day just like him. And I was a terrible father, a terrible husband, and I was married to these businesses. And that's all I wanted to do was get more money. And I hit a breaking point because I was miserable, yet should have been the happiest person around. I had a beautiful wife at that time, 2 wonderful children, and there was a hole in me.
I know
and
that
I,
feeling.
I was a full-blown addict, cocaine and alcohol. And again, God's grace, when I was younger, reading the book, that a judge gave me an option to either go to the workhouse or go to AA, and I thought, that's a no-brainer. These guys will teach me how to drink. So I went to AA, and again, there were some authentic Christians there talking about Jesus in their life. And I hit a bottom when my wife said, that's it, I'm leaving. And I desperately needed help. And I think that's the first time, because I desperately needed help, that I turned and started saying, okay, God, here I am. I'm a mess. I need help. And I don't want to lose my family. And we've raised 7 kids now and been married over 50 years.
And that's at least that for me was my transformation. Was prayer, because I was just talking to Bobby about, we never heard the transformation prayer, but it's not a prayer. It's that you're transformed through prayer, and it's over time. And it's so true, because for some people, it's a counselor or a friend or something that happened, that it's that pivotal point in their life that takes them there. But God is always reaching out to us, whether by people or by circumstances, that get us to learn. But it was when I stopped praying every day that I was open to the devil. And so for me, praying every day, spending time with God, making him part of my everyday, was my transformation. And then everything else can come along, reading the Bible, you know, doing good things. But you wrote a book. Tell us about your book.
Well, I'm hoping that it points to Jesus no matter where you're at. I firmly believe that we should be living our lives as Christians, looking at what part of me is not like Jesus and asking him to help us to become more like him. And so if you lived around me, I have a saying, if you squeeze me, not a lot of Jesus comes out of me. And so I've always wanted more, Bible says if you taste, you want more. If I could say something briefly, one of the things that I discovered after I became a pastor was I became an expert about God, but still had a long way to go to get to know him. And I think so many times within the Christian world, pastors may be at the top of
the total. We get the wrong idea. Sometimes we just get the wrong idea.
We're almost finishing with today's show.
And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. It opens our eyes to the truth.
Yeah.
But we're just about done. And for Mother's Day, I just wanted to share a nice poem to all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day, including our mother in heaven. This is A Mother's Love from Helen Rice. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It's made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation. And it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. Dale, would you like to close us in prayer?
Oh, absolutely. Jesus, we just thank you and for this opportunity. And what comes to my mind is that you share with us that we're to trust in you with all of our heart, and you tell us not to be wise in our own eyes, and that if we acknowledge you in all of our ways, you will direct our path. And then if we didn't get it the first time, you tell us don't lean on our own understanding. And Lord, help everybody that's out there listening to understand that you're there and you're pursuing them and you love them unconditionally. And my prayer is that somehow you use this testimony in spite of ourselves, and only the power of you can speak to somebody's heart through our words. And so we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, Dale, for being on the show. Your book, Conspiracy of Grace, is a powerful testimony of the power of grace. More information on Dale can be found on conspiracyofgrace.com. Thank you, Dale, so much for being on the show. God bless you, Dale.
Okay, thank you very much, Amy and Boris. And if you read part of my book, I got a great friend from Bulgaria that lived with me for 2 years, Boris.
Oh, look at that. In the mafia times or after?
No.
In the Christian times.
His dad was in more of a secret service type thing. But no, he's a doctor of... and board pathologist right now.
Nice.
And thank you to our audio producer Jasper for being with us today, making the show sound good, and playing my music picks. Thanks for the Christian Car Guy, Robbie Dillmore, for his continuing guidance. And watch the show. It's awesome. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Until next week, much love.
Please check our podcast, The Cure with Amy Cabo, our app, The Cure, or our website, GodIsTheCure.com.
Happy Mother's
Thank
Day.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.